Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. We are in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, picking up our study in verse 1 today. And this is our sixth study in the book of Deuteronomy. Now let's begin with prayer. Lord, we ask that our hearts are good ground, that we would hear your word and understand your word, and that your word would bear fruit in our lives 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Moses is speaking to the Israelites and is getting close to the time for them to enter into the Holy Land. And let's begin reading in verse 1. Moses says, "Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you." Moses says, obey these laws that you may live. Not talking about a spiritual life or eternal life, because that cannot be earned by keeping the law or doing anything else. That kind of life, spiritual and eternal life, must be received in response to our faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so Moses is saying, obey God so that you can enjoy life in the Holy Land, and so that that life will continue a good long time. Verse 2. Moses says, do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. In other words, do not make new laws and put them on the same level as God's word, and don't remove any of God's word either. And right along with that command goes this. God is saying, do not neglect to do what I command, and do not do what I forbid. In other words, don't add to my word, don't take anything away. Verse 3, you saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. And Baal was a pagan idol. And this is referring to an incident that happened in the history of Israel not too long ago. The women of Midian had enticed some of the men of Israel into the sin of fornication and into the sin of idolatry. Well, the Israelites did not get away with it. God executed 24,000 Israelites because of their sin. And Moses is encouraging the survivors in Israel to remember that. And then he also says in verse 4, but all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. And those who remained faithful to the Lord and had not sinned, and the thing with Baal, Peor, they did not die. And that's a pretty amazing statement, because several months had gone by since that incident, and within those months Israel also fought in a war, and yet not one of the faithful died in the war or by disease or anything else. And so God preserved those who were faithful to him. Verse 5, see, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Moses did what he had just commanded the Israelites to do. He stuck to the word. He taught them the word of God just as he had been given it by God. Moses did not add to it. He did not take away from it. Verse 6, observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. God designed us and He put us together, body, soul, and spirit. So He knows what will make us function and happy. And the law of God is sort of like an owner's manual. And the law that He gave Israel was tailor-made for human beings. If they teach it and they live it, Israel will be blessed better than any other nation. People will hear about it and they'll see, boy, those Israelites sure have their act together. Verse 7, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? God is so great. He is so lofty, so exalted, and yet He drew near to little Israel. And He was near them in a couple of ways. He was near by relation through the covenant He made with them. He was near by His presence. In other words, He was there in a visible form, in the form of a cloud. He was near them. Anytime they wanted, they could talk to God, and He would hear their prayers and give them what they needed. What a unique relationship Israel had with the living God, and it is surpassed only by the relationship that we have with God as Christians today. He was with Israel, but He is in Christians. Verse 8. And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? No law, no code of law devised by man was able to lead its people in the ways of righteousness and fairness and justice and truth like the law that God gave to Moses. And no law was ever designed to keep people from hurting each other, each other's persons and property, like the law that God gave to Moses. No wonder God said, keep it, and you will live. What a gift this law from God is. Not just to Israel, but to us. And no, we can't get saved by keeping the law. But it sure does give us wise directions. It sure does cause us to prosper in this life. Verse 9. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. In other words, never forget God's word and the miraculous way it was delivered to Moses on Mount Sinai. Never forget the punishment God inflicted on those who broke it, and never forget the blessing that came on those who kept it. Verse 10, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, that would be Mount Sinai, when He said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. One thing for sure they should remember, and that is the day and the way God gave them the law on Mount Sinai. It was a terrifying experience for the Israelites. They saw the fire, the smoke, and the lightning. They heard the thunder and the angelic trumpet blast that announced God's arrival. And He was trying to tell them something. He was trying to tell them that His law was important and it was serious and that He meant business. And they got the message. Verse 11, you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens with black clouds and deep darkness. They stood at the foot of Mount Sinai and they watched with terror as God gave His law to Moses amidst this thick darkness and the blazing fire and the billowing smoke. Verse 12, then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. Now, they didn't just hear a noise. They heard God speak words. And they understood those words. When they are at Mount Sinai, at the foot of that mountain, God's voice thundered. But it was as clear as my voice is to you today. Probably clearer. Verse 13. He declared to you His covenant, the Ten Commandments, which He commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. The law is called a covenant, or a contract. And that's what a covenant is. And it was called a covenant because two parties were involved. There was God, who promised long life and happiness to Israel if they obeyed. And there was Israel, who promised to keep God's law. Verse 14. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are following in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. God gave Moses the ceremonial laws and the judicial laws, as well as the Ten Commandments. Now the Ten Commandments, that is the moral law, and that law is timeless. The ceremonial law was designed for Israel in the Holy Land during Old Testament days. Verse 15, you saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire. Therefore watch yourselves, be very careful. God didn't want Israel to make an image and worship it as God. And so He was very careful. He did not appear to them in any form that might lead them down that direction. Verse 16. So that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman. And so any image, no matter how spectacular or beautiful it may be, is a far cry from God and all His perfections. That's why to worship anything, even as a representation of God, is an insult to God. It is a corruption of the worshiper, and it is a corruption of worship, and God doesn't want any part of that. Verse 17, and it's not just men, don't make an image of a man or a woman. Verse 17 says, or like any animal on earth, or any bird that flies in the air. And there really aren't many animals that haven't been worshipped by someone somewhere. Some people say, oh, well, that group, they worship eagles. But they really are worshipping the same God that Christians worship. They worship the birds and they worship nature, but they are really worshipping the true God. No, they are not. God certainly doesn't see it as worship of Him. If anything, it is idolatry. Verse 18, or like any creature that moves along the ground, or any fish in the water below. Well, when you talk about the idolatry of the heathens, you can almost always include the serpent. And, of course, the Bible teaches that the devil is behind all idol worship, and the serpent is a clear reference to the serpent Satan possessed in the Garden of Eden and used to deceive Eve. It seems to me that the serpent is the devil's badge of honor. And God says don't worship it or anything else that crawls or swims. Verse 19. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things the Lord your God has apportioned to all the nations under heaven. And there's nothing wrong with looking at the sky and being in awe of the Almighty God who made everything up there. And I do that all the time. But God warns us, don't be led astray into worshiping those heavenly bodies. Don't look to them for direction. They are a reflection of the tremendous God that's up there who created them. And so let them, if anything, draw you closer to Almighty God and appreciate Him more. Verse 20, we'll stop with this today. But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace, out of Egypt, to be the people of his inheritance, as you now are. And the smelting furnace refers to the fire that was used to melt silver or gold back in those days. Throw the gold into this hot furnace, and it would melt, and it would separate the impurities from the precious metal. Egypt is called Israel's furnace because it was hot. I mean, it was miserable. It's called Israel's furnace because of the misery and the cruelty and the slavery that they lived with down in Egypt for so many years. But God delivered them from that mess. He delivered them out of that furnace and has now brought them home, almost. They're just about ready to take the land. We'll stop there today. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Until next time, Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse, reminding you to stay in the Word and stay in prayer. Until next time, so long, everyone.